morning, if you'd open it to the 13th chapter of the Gospel of John. Turn me up just a tiny bit there, Brother Tommy, and crank up my monitor a little bit. It's kind of flat. It doesn't sound like I'm in a tunnel. Of course, it could be my ears. All right, thank you. All right, John chapter 13, and for time's sake, we'll just read verse 15. John chapter 13, verse 15. For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you. Let's pray. Father, help us now this morning. Give us grace, liberty, wisdom, power, and unction to preach the Word of God. And I pray, Father, that the Holy Spirit would brood upon this place, move in our midst, stir in our hearts, enlighten our minds, that we might see the truth of the Word of God, change our lives for our good and Thy glory. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. Now, I want to bring you a little message this morning, a very simple message, like most of my messages, entitled Example. Example. Take your Bible. Let's just flip to a couple places. I want you to see a couple things here. If Philippians chapter 3, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. All right, Philippians chapter 3. Everybody found that? Look in verse 17. Brethren, be ye followers together of me, and mark them which walk so as you have us for an example. That preacher there said he was an example. You could follow him. Amen? Preacher ought to be an example. All right, now take your Bible, look in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. Now look down at verse 9. In verse 9 it said, not because we have power, but to make ourselves an example unto you to follow us. Christians ought to be an example that others can follow. Preacher ought to be an example. Christians ought to be an example. All right, now take your Bible, look in, of course, in John, or I'm sorry, 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. 1 Thessalonians 1. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 7. So that ye were ensamples to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia. And so the believers there were an example. The folks there could look at them and see what a Christian ought to be, how a Christian ought to live, and what a Christian ought to do. As a Christian, you're supposed to be an example. Then, of course, in John chapter 13 and verse 15, Jesus said that He gave them an example. We sing that old hymn, My Example is He. Now, I read you those passages and had you look at them so that you'll understand that you are an example. Now, it can be a good example or a bad example. But I guarantee you, if you live and breathe and you're on the same planet with other people, you are an example. And folks look at you and size you up, and you say, well, they don't have the right to do that. Well, we're not talking about what's right or should be. We're talking about how it is. And that's the way it is. People look at you. And they decide whether you're a good Christian, a bad Christian, a good mama, a bad mama. Amen. They say, well, they shouldn't judge me. Sure they should. Don't you? You see people that set a bad example. They lose their temper. They slap their children in the face. You got an opinion about that? Yeah, sure you do. So why? Why did you get that opinion? Because their example. The example they set is what led you to that conclusion. Now, everybody's life sets an example. You just have to determine what kind of example you want to be. You have no choice in whether you want to be one or not. That's not part of the equation. Now, I looked in the 1828, that is the original English dictionary written by Noah Webster, Daniel's older and wiser brother. Amen. Amen. The 1828 is the first English language dictionary, And in the original dictionary, and I use it because people say, well, the words have changed, definitions have changed, meanings have changed. And so we go back to the source. I'm going to tell you what it meant when they wrote it. Here's what example meant. In the 1828, it said, a pattern. An example is a pattern. A copy, a model, that which is proposed to be emulated, a person fit to be proposed for a pattern. One whose conduct is worthy of emulation. Got it? An example. We teach by example. If you pick up a textbook on math, and they'll say, they'll give you some calculus problem or trigonometry problem or algebra problem, and they'll say, example. And then they'll give you a little thing there that shows you how to do it step by step. Amen? Now, the example isn't what you're supposed to, the one you're supposed to be. It's what you're supposed to copy. It's what you're supposed to emulate. If you want to do this kind of math and get the correct answer, this is the procedure that you follow. If you want to be a good Christian, here's who you ought to look at. Here's who you ought to follow. We ought to follow Christ. You ought to follow the pastor. You ought to follow other Christians. You ought to follow the example set by Paul. So, well, I don't know how a Christian ought to behave. Well, pick up your Bible and read. If you can't do that, then find you a pastor or a senior Christian, somebody who's been saved a while, who has a godly testimony, and follow them. Let them be your example. Now, it's very dangerous following men. The best of them will disappoint you somewhere. Amen. I don't care who they are. If you followed me closely enough and long enough, if you were clever enough and attentive enough, you could probably, maybe, find some imperfection somewhere. It'd be much quicker, much easier for you to follow Brother Lewis. Sometimes the examples are not perfect, but they're better than nothing to follow. Amen? Now, but you got to be careful these days. We were at a gospel singing the other night, and it was great. Big, fancy, beautiful Southern Baptist church. And they just got a brand new preacher, and he's a doctor. They had him come up and say a few words. And the guy walked up, and he had on dungarees and some kind of one of them Tommy Bahama, I've lost my mind, middle-aged kind of shirts. No tie, short sleeves, open collar. He looked like a 28-year-old semi-hippie is what he looked like. And he came up and he said a few words and he prayed. And I knew a couple of things. When they got through, I knew one, he doesn't pray.
Amen.
Because he couldn't pray.
That's right.
His prayer was pathetic. And I knew that he didn't have any convictions about dress or standards. Why? Because the way he was dressed and the example that he's... And his church looked just like him.
Amen.
Amen. Now, so example is important. People say, well, I would do this or I would do that if I just knew how to do it or how I should do it or what's expected. So I thought, Lord, if I want to talk to these folks about example this morning... give me an illustration. Give me an example to teach on example. And so I looked in my Bible, which always has the answer, you understand. It's just a matter of taking the time to find it. And so I have 8 examples of different things. Because sometimes you need an example to illustrate one thing. Sometimes you need an example to illustrate a different thing. For example... I'm going to keep saying that word until you get the idea. Here are some examples I found in the Bible. Here's an example of carelessness. Started way back in the Bible. There's a fellow back there named Noah. And Noah was a good old boy, and he found grace in the eyes of the Lord and all that stuff. But Noah got careless in his living. He got careless in his example. He got careless in his practice. He got careless in his walk. You know what that old boy did? Why, he grew him a grapevine and planted some great big Concord grapes out there. And they grew and God blessed them. And the earth was young and fertile. And boy, they grew. And he had big old Concord grapes that big. And you'd bite them and the sugar would just run down your chin. And that old boy got careless. And you know what he did? He let that stuff ferment and all that sugar in there, sitting out in the sun, them skins, you know, and it became alcohol. And Noah got careless, and he was drunk. He's not only drunk, he's naked. Nakedness and drinking go hand in hand. Amen. You know why boys like to get girls drunk? Girls, if they're trying to get you to drink, that sucker is no good. Amen. Amen. Besides that, you shouldn't have been out with some fella that drinks anyway. Amen. Amen. Anyway, Noah got careless. Now, if you want an example of what happens to Christians when they get careless about the way they live, there's Noah. Listen, Noah was a good man, found grace in the eyes of the Lord. But when he got careless, he fell into sin anyway. The fact that he was a good man and had a good heart was no defense against carelessness. And when you think, well, I've been saved 20 years, I've been saved 30 years, and I do this and I do that, and we don't do this, and we don't, and so I'm safe, you are in grave danger of messing up. Amen? Listen, look at the example. Here's a man that knew God intimately, knew God personally, and loved the Lord. Noah was not by nature, as far as we know, a rebellious man or a wicked man. He did love the Lord and he obeyed the Lord. He worked diligently for the Lord for 120 years just to build one boat. Yet, when he got old, he got comfortable, he got relaxed, he was secure in his own righteousness and his own lifestyle, and he got a little careless and butted the old flesh, and the devil jumped right in there and messed that fellow up. And I'm here to tell you, you can't relax as a Christian. I don't care how long you've been saved. I don't care how good you've been. If you ever have a problem with that, you need an example. There's Noah. Use him. Here's another one. There's a fellow over there in the book of Genesis named Lamech or Lamarck, whatever his name was. Now, this guy's an example of no self-control. You know what that old boy did? He got mad one day, got in an argument with a fella, and jumped up and killed him. Just jumped up, and he come back and he said, oh, if Cain be avenged 7 times, surely Lamech 70 and 7 times. And he was sorry for it and he regretted it. Of course, that didn't bring that guy back to life. That guy was still dead. So what happened? Well, as far as I know, Lamech was probably a pretty good guy. Nothing special bad about him in the Bible. Not much said about him. And if he had been particularly bad, I'm sure God would have wrote more about him. He was just an average run-of-the-mill fella. You know what his problem was? Couldn't control his temper. He had no self-control. No self-discipline. You know what? Christians lack self-discipline. The toughest discipline in the world is the discipline you instill upon yourself. Because you feel like you can always cheat on yourself and it doesn't hurt anybody. Amen? If you make a commitment, if you make a promise to somebody else, then you feel some obligation to fulfill it. But if you're only doing it for yourself, you feel like you can cheat when you want to. Amen? And you watch people all the time. They say, I'm going to start doing so-and-so. And they start out, and they're going great guns, and things are really working great, and then some little obstacle comes up, and they don't do it. And they're going to get back to it as soon as. And pretty soon they never get back. One time I bought one of those treadmill things. Everybody's owned one of those. It's un-American never to have had one. And I bought a real nice one and it had the mileage counter and the fat burner and I don't know, 49 speeds and 14 different elevations. And we bought that thing and we was going to work out. Because we don't get enough exercise. And so I got that thing and I'm on there and I'm doing so good. And I ride that thing for about 30 minutes every day and I ride mine twice as fast as her, so I'm going to be twice as healthy. And I put mine steep, boy. So, and man, I was working them leg muscles and I was just like Superman. And I did that for about 6-8 weeks. It was just a routine. Then one day something came up and I didn't get to do it. And the next day, my legs were kind of stiff and sore, so I put it off. And you know, I never got on that thing again. And it sat there till the dust got collected up on it, and we was embarrassed, and I took it out and sold it. Amen. Like most of y'all. You can't go to a yard sale, you can't find one or two of them things. You can't go to a garage where there ain't a couple sitting around. Everybody's got them. Ain't nobody using them. Amen. You know what? No self-discipline. Couldn't make myself get back in the swing of it. Amen. You know why you don't pray? No self-discipline. You know why you can't make it to church on Sunday night and Wednesday night? No self-discipline. Amen. You know why you can't tithe like you ought to? You spent your money someplace else? No self-discipline. Amen. You say, well, if I just had an example, here's one right here. No self-discipline. It always messes up your life. It always causes you trouble. If you could learn to do what you're supposed to, when you're supposed to, and make yourself do it, you'd be miles and miles and miles ahead. Amen? But most of us lack self-discipline. Here's a great example of it. Here's another one. How about this one? Here's an example of obedience. Fellow's name is Abram. And God came to Abram, and He made a strange request. He gave a strange command, and He gave one that most folks would not listen to. It wasn't complicated. That's not the problem. It was unpleasant. That was the problem. It's not something that we want to do. You know what God told Abram? He said, "Get thee out of thy land, out of the land, from thy kindred, and all this, that, and the other, unto a land that I will show thee." He said, "I want you to leave mom and daddy, all your aunts and uncles." And Abram said, "But Lord, I've never been out of York, South Carolina. All my kinfolk are down here. My kids and my grandkids and my grandma and grandpa, they all live right here." And God said, "I don't care. So get out of the land. Separate yourself from that crowd and get out here. And if you'll go where I'm at," He said, "I'll bless you." Do you know? Now, you're not going to believe this. If it wasn't in the Bible, I wouldn't believe it. Do you know what Abram did? Packed his suitcase. Loaded up the station wagon and moved out. See, why did he do that? Because God said so. The worst reason in the world. I mean, for crying out loud. He didn't have to move because of economic reasons. And he didn't have to move because he was having trouble with the relatives. Amen? And he had every reason to stay there. Why, they owned half the country. Why leave? What's the point? Because God said to. You need an example on obedience? Try Abram. Amen? You're looking for an example for some problem in your life or some area in your life where you need guidance and instruction, where you'd like to have some light? I'm here to tell you that in the Bible, there's an example that will fit your case. Which probably one reason folks won't look. They're afraid they'll find the example and it won't be the one they want. For example, now here's another example. Here's an example of a bad attitude. And the results of having a bad attitude. Who is it? Well, there's a fellow there named Jeremiah the prophet. He's God's man. Good guy. Love Jesus. It's just, he's a whiner. He's a complainer. He don't like nobody. He don't like nothing. He don't think God's treating him right. Now he's afraid to turn on God. He's afraid to leave God. But he don't like the way God led him. He don't like what God required out of him. In Jeremiah chapter 12, he said, "Oh Lord, thou knowest me. Thou hast tried me." Poor old Jeremiah. Ain't the way a lot of Christians are. got a bad attitude, always whining. Why did God put me here? Why did God make me look like He made me look? Now, I can't complain about that. But you see what I'm saying? It's urged me, Brother Steve gets up here and sings. I've thought about firing him. Well, for two reasons. One, he's never asked me to sing with him. And two, I can't sing a note. Which may have something to do with him not asking me. But I don't think it's fair. I want to sing. I like music probably as good as anybody here. I listen to it all the time. I love it. I love it. I can't keep it in my head. That song he sang this morning, I sit over here and I sang every word with him. As soon as he quit singing, I can't remember a single word. I don't know what it is about my mind, son. As long as it's on, I got it. You turn it off, I couldn't hum you a note of that song. And I love that song. Well, I don't think that's fair. Now, God knew He was going to call me to preach. And He knew how good I was going to be at it. It looks like He would equip me to do a better job. Couldn't I be more effective if I could illustrate some of my songs like Dr. Ruckman does? I mean, when I get up and preach, you know, and then I've got this song that fits the sermon, and I sing it with such feeling and passion. Boy, I could move you to tears and stir. He ripped me off. I didn't get none of that. Now you tell me, you answer this one. You tell me why in God's name He gave that to Steve. See what I'm saying? We have bad attitude. We complain about everything. We don't like what God gave us. We want what God gave somebody else. We don't like where God put us. We don't like what God expects us to do. Why didn't I get this talent? Shut up! You are what you are. Make the best out of it. Bloom where you're planted. Amen? Jeremiah, you read Jeremiah, he gets on your nerves. He liked nothing. He didn't like nobody. He was angry with God about half the time. He thought God ought to wipe a whole bunch of folks out and just... You see how bad a bad attitude looks so? You want an example of it? Look at old Jeremiah. Nobody wanted to be around Jeremiah. Why, even the king couldn't stand him and throw him in jail and just get him out of sight. Amen? And when you were always whining, when you were always complaining, and you didn't get a fair shake, and God didn't treat you right, and life been rough on you, you just alienate yourself from everybody. Example. Bad attitude. I'll give you another one. I like this one. Here's an example of conviction. There's a fellow named Daniel. And he got kidnapped and stolen away from home. Mom and daddy's alive or dead. Him and three other little old boys get carried away. They're part of the booty of war. And they get down there and they're in a foreign country. And they don't speak the right language. And they eat weird stuff. And they dress funny. Read the book of Daniel, and you find old Daniel got down there, and they dressed him in the clothes of their country. He had to wear their hat and their socks and their breeches and their shirts, and they dressed weird. He didn't like none of that stuff. And then they wanted him to eat this weird, ungodly food. Now, there ain't nobody around. Daniel's a long way from home. He's a prisoner of war. Lost his family. Cut off from everybody. And you know what that dude did? He said, I ain't eating that stuff. I ain't eating it. I don't care what you say about shrimp, that's fish bait. I ain't eating it. Amen. Fry me some tripe, okay, but don't give me no fish bait. He wouldn't eat it. Say why? He had a conviction that it wasn't right. And his conviction wasn't determined by his geography. Or it was not determined or controlled by who he was with. He didn't live one way with this crowd and another way with that crowd. Amen. And he didn't act like this when he was at church and act like this when he was hanging out with his friends. He's just one way. People say, you're pretty one way. That's not a bad thing sometimes. Amen. I'll be honest with you. The things that I believe are wrong, I believe they're wrong at church. I believe they're wrong at home. I believe they're wrong on vacation.
Amen.
Amen. The things that I believe are right, I think they're right everywhere. And I think they're right when I'm with Brother Tommy and Brother Lewis, and I think they're right when I'm with Brother Henry. Amen. You got any conviction? Daniel's got conviction. Say, well, what if he had obeyed, you'd never heard of him. He'd have been just like everybody else. He'd have just gave in to the pressure and the situations. Well, there's nothing I can do about it. Everybody's doing it. Well, preacher, everybody's wearing that. He didn't care what everybody else was doing. The boy had some conviction. You want an example of how you ought to live your life? You ought to find out what's right and what you believe and get a conviction about it. And then you don't care who or when or where somebody else is doing something different. Bless God, you got a conviction and you ain't going to change. Somebody say amen. So, well, if I could just find an example of somebody that lives right, there's one. Right there's one. He didn't care whether family and friends were there. He didn't care whether anybody else was doing it. That was the right thing to do, and bless God, that's what he did. And that's what you do when you have conviction. If you can change your behavior and your conduct depending on where you're at or who you're with, you ain't got no conviction. You're a double-minded man, and the Bible said a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Then, how about an example of character? Somebody that just believes certain things, and no matter what the price, he ain't changing. I'll give you an example of that. There's a fellow named Joseph. And Joseph had a hard time. I mean, that boy's been through the mill. He's been through the ups and downs. I mean, Joseph's life's not been easy. Man, he's been out in the desert and down in the dirt and sold out by family and friends and God managed to take care of him. He was in jail and God got him out of jail. And he finally makes a little money and gets a little prestige. And now he's the bookkeeper for the king. And the king's married to an old hussy. Just a sleazy old thing. Just trailer trash. But he married her and put her in a palace. And Joseph ain't been there no time at all. And this loose woman got her eye on him. And she comes in and she tries to seduce him. And you know what that guy did? Now this is character. He turned her down. In our day and age, it's just, I mean, if you look at TV land and what you see in the movies and stuff, ain't nobody turning down nothing these days. It's get all you can and can all you get. That's the mentality we got. Joseph, who is a single man, and who could probably have played this up and done it right and really got himself in there good, put his life on the line, put his reputation on the line, put everything on the line because he had character. He said, this ain't right. He said, how can I do this great evil? How can I commit this great sin against my master to take his wife? And she tried to force herself on him. And he ran out of there, and she's holding his coat, his sweater, when he leaves. Now, his character is about to cost him his life and his reputation, because that lying hussy went to her husband and said, he tried to force me in, and I screamed, and he ran out the door, and that's his jacket. Here's his coat right here. Now, you don't put yourself in harm's way like that, unless you've got character. He knew the consequence. He knew what it was likely to cost him. But he was going to do right no matter what. Amen? Bill Clinton said, character doesn't matter. There's a man you don't want to run nothing.
Amen.
You don't want a guy like Bill Clinton or Hillary Clinton in charge. I wouldn't put him in charge of the dog pound.
Amen.
If character doesn't matter, you never know what they're going to do or not going to do. You take a man of character or principle, whether you agree with him or not, at least you know where he stands and you know how he will respond to certain things. You want an example of character? Look up Joseph. You want a Bible example of faithfulness? Look at the Apostle Paul. John. I need a drink, buddy. My throat's just on fire this morning. That's a good fellow right there. Handsome little fella too, ain't he? Where was I at? We were on Apostle Paul. Faithfulness. We need some examples of faithfulness. People who set out to do a thing or to accomplish something or to go somewhere and stick at it no matter what. These days, folks say, well, I'm going to do so-and-so, or I'm going to do that, or I'm going to be this. And they start, and they get a little way down the road, and they hit a rough spot, or a hole in the road, or they stub their toe on a rock, and guess what? They quit. You want to know why so many marriages end up in divorce? Because they hit one of them little tough spots in marriage, and they all got them. Amen. There is no superhighway for marriage. All marriages start out on back roads. Amen. Now you may get to the superhighway sooner or later, where it's four lanes and smooth and everybody's going in the same direction, but buddy, that's a long way down the road. You start out on back roads with chuck holes and narrow roads and Amen. You know what happens these days? Folks start out on marriage and they come to that first obstacle, that first thing they don't like, or that first thing they can't agree on, and they can't resolve it, and so instead of learning to live with it, they just move out. Amen? You never accomplish anything, at anything by quitting. Quitters never win. Quitters never get recognized. Quitters never accomplish. Paul is an example of faithfulness or steadfastness. They whipped him 3 times. He spent a couple of days and a couple of nights in the ocean, shipwrecked. He spent a month out at sea in a typhoon. They tried to kill him 3 or 4 times. I mean, every time you turned around, old Paul was in trouble. Somebody was after him. And they said, if you just quit preaching about Jesus, we'd leave you alone. He said, nothing doing. I'm going to preach about Jesus. I'm going to talk about Jesus. I'm going to live for Jesus if it kills me. Amen. Couldn't shut him up. Say, why? He's faithful. God called him. God empowered him. God commissioned him. And he wasn't going to let man shut him up. Amen. You know, we need some folks that are faithful at some things. We need some folks that will set out to do something and get it done. Amen? Instead of quitting. That's like folks go to churches, you know. Oh, and they just love the preacher. We've had a bunch of them come here. And they'll come and visit a time or two, and I'll get my wife and we'll go visit them and sit down with them. And they'll tell me, oh, preacher said, y'all just got the nicest church. One, they love my preaching. I thought, well, here's somebody with some brains, and they tell me how good it is and how much they enjoy it. And the people at King, they're so friendly. And we just felt right at home. And we've just been looking for a church where they just preach it plain and straight, boy. And they're just happy as they can be. And they'll come, and the first time I say something they don't like, we never see them again. We had a real sweet little couple come here about a year or so ago, and they really liked us. They came 2 or 3 times, and wife and I went over to visit with them, and they just loved it. And they just was eating us up, and I thought, well, maybe we got a couple of new church members here. And they come back, I think it was the next Sunday or maybe the next Sunday night, and they liked it. We was going to take them out to get a snack. And the little old lady said, preacher, evidently she had noticed that none of you ladies had on breeches on Sunday morning or Sunday night, and she said, what do y'all think about women wearing breeches? I said, well, some of our ladies wear breeches to work, and when they're not at church, I said, they don't all agree with me. She said, well, what do you believe? I said, I believe it's a sin. I said, I believe a woman ought to look like a woman, a man ought to look like a man. The Bible says it's an abomination for a woman to wear that which pertaineth to a man. Okay? I said, that's our position. That's what we believe. Now, we allow anybody to come, and we would never insult anybody because you've got to grow to that position. Okay? And if we didn't allow them to come, or if we lambasted them every time they come through the door, they never would grow. See, we don't operate that way. We just preach the truth, and they leave it to you and God the Holy Spirit to grow you up to that point. Amen? And a lot of good people don't agree with me. I understand that. Agreement not required. But we do have to preach what we believe. She said, oh, okay. We've never seen them since. Never came back. We went to visit them, and they were just as cold as ice. And I thought, what do I do to make y'all mad? She asked me what I believe. When I told her what I believed, she didn't believe that because she wears breeches. She was offended. I could tell you story after story after story how that's happened over the years about all kind of things. Need to be faithful. Need to be steadfast. Oh, I've got to hurry because I ain't got to the message yet. This is just the introduction. I'm serious. I have a 4-point message. This is just, I was just going to breeze through this right quick, but I got bogged down. Now, I used that last example to get to this last illustration. You want an example? How about an example of a quitter? You know what the Bible said about Demas? Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. You know why folks quit on God? You know why you can't get them faithful in church? You know why you can't get them to live right? Because they love this present evil world. You know what the Bible said about folks like this? It said, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world, for the love of the world is not of the Father. But old Demas just couldn't get his eyes off of all the new TVs. My Demas is down there one day on Main Street in York and walked by York Appliance, and man, they had this great big 42-inch flat-screen HD TV, liquid crystal, whatever the heck they are these days. They'll be a new model out next month, by the way. And he just had to have one. And he couldn't get one and go to church on Wednesday night because he needed to work a part-time job. So he'd have enough money to buy the TV. So he quit coming to church on Wednesday and laid out so he could work, so he could make extra money, so he could have that. You know what his problem is? He loves this present evil world more than he loves God. Being lovers of pleasures more than lovers. It didn't say they didn't love God. It just said they loved the junk of this world more than they loved God. Amen? So what happened? He quit. You want to know why, folks? You go everywhere and they say, well, we used to go to church. We used to go to church. I used to teach Sunday school. Blah, blah. Where are you at now? Well, they quit. They quit. God doesn't like quitters. You can't win a race and quit. You know what Paul said? He said, I finished my course. I've run the race. Henceforth, there's laid up for me. He said, because I finished it, I get the prize. No prize if you don't finish. You see, there's all kinds of examples in the Bible. I can give you another 25 or 30. And I didn't even get to the message. The message has got 4 points. I'll just give them to you because we go eat. Number one, what kind of example are you as a citizen? Now, under that, there's 5 sub-points. That has to do with your citizenship and your voting and your involvement and, say, what kind of a citizen are you? What kind of example do you set for other people as an American citizen? Number two, what kind of example do you set as a husband or a wife? If your children are watching you and they're going to grow up and marry one day, would you recommend your lifestyle and your marriage to them? Are you always fussing and fighting and bickering and hollering and screaming and raising hell, and when they come home, they never know where they're going to come home, to a happy home or a hell hole? Okay? What kind of example? What kind of example are you as a parent? What kind of example are you as a mate, a husband or a wife? You're some kind of an example, aren't you? You got children? You're an example to them. Either an example to be followed or an example to be shunned. A good example or a bad example, but you're an example. You say, well, I just don't want to be. Tough! You are anyhow. Amen? So, what kind of example are you as a citizen? What kind of example are you as a parent? What kind of example are you as a husband or a wife? What kind of an employer or an employee are you? See? What kind of example do you set? And we skip over all that. Point number four was this, and here was the whole message. What kind of example are you as a Christian? If your neighbors and your family and your friends were looking at you and you determined whether or not they're going to follow Jesus Christ, whether or not they're going to believe the gospel, whether or not they're going to live or die and go to hell or go to heaven, if it all depended on you, what kind of example would you set? A fellow said one time, if you were arrested and hauled into court and charged with being a Christian, would there be enough evidence to convict you? What kind of example do you set on church attendance? What kind? Are you there Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night? Or are you just a once-a-week Christian? That's what you're going to teach your kids. That's what you're going to teach your neighbors. All the God you need is an hour on Sunday morning. And then, what do you teach them about church attendance when you go on vacation? Wife and I, we try to plan. And I personally think all Christians ought to plan so that your vacation doesn't interfere with Sunday. Amen? I don't think you ought to leave on Sunday or come back on Sunday unless there's just absolutely no other way it can be done. You ought to be at church. You ought to set that example for your children, your grandchildren, other people in the church, new converts. Now, I understand that sometimes it just can't work it out. I understand that. But not most of the time. Most of the time, you can work it out to be back on Sunday. Now, what about them times? What kind of example are you when you go out of town and you can't get back on Sunday? Do you go to church when you went? My wife and I go up to Dollywood every year. They have a gospel music month, the whole month of October. We're going here the 26th and 27th. We're coming back, whatever it is, we're coming back on Saturday afternoon so I can be here to preach on Sunday morning. I don't have to do that. I could say, Brother Lewis, would you fill in for me? See, but I like to be here. I like to set the example. Amen. But on those occasions when we can't make it back, we found us a church up there. What you do is when you go on vacation on Saturday or Friday, you pick up the phone book and you look through there and you find your Baptist church. And then you get the directions and all that stuff and go find it so that on Sunday morning, you know right where it's at. I guarantee if I'm not here Sunday morning, unless I'm sick, flat in bed, I'll be at church. Amen? Amen? I've always done that. Say, why? Because I didn't want my kids to think church is only for home. No, serving God, being faithful to church, is for anywhere. Amen. It's for everywhere. It's for all the time. What kind of example you set? What kind of a Christian are you? What kind of example do you set? What are you teaching those that are looking at you? Them little eyes that are growing up under your roof. Those little eyes that trust Nana and Pawpaw. What are they going to see? What kind of example are they going to get? What kind of a Christian are you when it comes to witnessing? What kind of Christian are you when it comes to conduct? What kind of a Christian are you when it comes to habits? What kind of a Christian are you? What kind of example do you set with the way you dress? Do you look like the rest of the world? You run around half naked. You got half your body hanging out. We went to a gospel singing the other night, and it was like being at a zoo. Now, the preacher in that church doesn't set any example. And so, and nobody in that church has got one to follow. And buddy, it showed. Them women came in there and they had on sundresses. I'm serious. If somebody come in our church, one of you ladies, honest to goodness, if you got a husband, I'd go talk to him. If he was dressed like that, I would. I'd say, you need to tell your wife to cover up. I mean, it's way too much of her showing. And with little spaghetti straps, and the top was right down here, and the back was way down there, and nothing on the side. Lord have mercy. And came in the house of God looking like that. Geisha girls wear more clothes than that. I'm serious. No. I'm not going to get started. I'm not. Maybe I will. No. I'd like to, though. What kind of example do you set with your convictions? Man, I know Christians, they got no convictions about nothing. You can go over to Western Baptist over there, they ain't got a conviction about drinking. You want to be a Christian and drink? Let me recommend West End. They took a vote on moderate social drinking, and it's okay. So, if you don't like our hard, narrow, legalistic stance on consumption of alcohol, just run on over there and giant up, and they won't nobody say a word. Amen? If you want a church where it's okay to come as you are, and the preacher's never going to preach on it, now it's okay to come pretty much as you are, as long as your neck is covered up. But we're going to preach on it. Amen. We want you to come. We love you. We encourage, you know, but you're going to have to take our verbal abuse. That's just the way it is. Amen. But if you want one where nobody's going to say nothing, there's a church over there on the other side of the road from what used to be Sullivan Junior High School, or I don't know what it is now, but Sullivan School over there, and they got a big old sign up, come as you are. They have a mixed service, first service, and contemporary second service. You can just find whatever you want. Amen? Ain't nobody never going to say nothing about nothing. Amen? Now, if you come here, you get assaulted every time you come. Amen? What kind of an example are you as a Christian? If I were looking at your life, if your children were looking at your life, if your grandchildren, if your neighbors, if your family, if your people at work were looking at you, and you were the example they see, what kind of an example would you set? So, preacher, I believe in grace. We're not under the law. And I believe all things are lawful. Yeah, but remember, not all things are expedient.
Amen.
And I think I've got liberty to do this and liberty to do that. And you probably do. But is it wise? And does it set a good example? Now, sometime sooner or later, we ought to grow up enough to see that. Amen? We sing the old hymn, "My example is He." He ought to be our example in all things. And if you can't match Him, then be ye followers of me, even as we are also of Christ Jesus, which is the Apostle Paul. Follow Him. And if you can't get that high, follow me. And if you can't get that high, follow Lewis. I'm somebody that can set an example that is worthy to be emulated. Somebody that can be a model. Follow them. Better yet, determine to be an example. John, I appreciate that water. I forgot all about it, son. I'm really dying now. Wouldn't you like to be the light of inspiration that sparked somebody to make a move toward God? Wouldn't you like for Jesus to say that it was your conduct, your behavior, your character, your steadfastness, your faithfulness that impressed so-and-so to turn from darkness to light? It was your life, it was your example that pointed them to me. We really ought to be careful about our example. Let's bow our head. Father, we thank you for your goodness and your mercy. I pray, Lord God, you would help us every day.